What a joy and blessing it is to see each and every one of you. My heart rejoices right now. That's what I'm trying to say. And I know God is rejoicing. God is rejoicing. Okay? And I think we have a very special message prepared, especially times such as now. Try to hold my emotion. You know, I woke up this morning just troubled in my heart. I'm sure all of you are doing the same thing, listening to the news, and I cannot help but to feel that uncertain fear that is in me. And I think about, can you imagine 40 million people in Ukraine waking up every morning? And just makes me emotional. But our hope and the truth is someone on greater level than Ukraine and Russia level. And that's what we believe, and that's what the message of today's gospel is. Okay, so if you would just give your ears, and if you are joining for the first time, I welcome you, and Lord is in this place. And Lord has a message for you from the scripture. The title of the message, if you could just look at it, it's pretty amazing. Not man's gospel. Okay? Not man's gospel. Paul is saying, the gospel that I preach to you is not man's gospel. That's his statement. That's his claim. Then what does that mean? Then what in the world does that mean? It means it's not man's, but it is God's. In other words, the word and the gospel that he preached to you is from God directly. You know, we hear news, mostly bad news, right? Mostly bad news on CNN, BBC, NBC, whatever you listen to, mostly bad news, but the gospel is the good news. Good news to the world, to you, okay? So in other words, it is from God, it is his word, and it is his news, and it is a good news, okay? So that as an introduction, we're coming back to study of Galatians after 2 weeks. We spent on the topic of membership. In this letter, which is made up of only 6 chapters, short letter, only 148 verses. It's very short gospel, but powerful gospel. Powerful gospel. It's powerful enough to start the Reformation in 16th century. Change Luther's life. Change so many godly men and women throughout history's life. Personally, the gospel was opened to me through the gospel of Galatians. Okay, so last time, Paul, just after starting the letter, without any commendation, any praise, any encouragement, he jumped right into the business of his letter. And this is how he started. For those of you kind of forgot, let me remind you. This is the kind of tone and this is the message that he wanted to deliver to church at Galatia, which is applicable to us as well, I believe. Paul said, I am astonished, amazed, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. And basically he's saying that there is no different gospel. A different gospel is a distorted and perverted gospel, which means it's a false gospel. Okay? False gospel is not gospel. It's anti-gospel, it's satanic gospel. And we share that very, very strongly. Throughout history, men of God spoke strongly about this. Really strongly. Not only Luther and not only John MacArthur, but all these men of God, they really spoke about this topic of false gospel, because false gospel will take you to destruction. You're in the church listening to messages all the time thinking that I'm good, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, when you're not. Okay, that's basically what it means. And we talked about prosperity gospel, half gospel, and your family and self gospel, psychologized gospel. These are all false gospels. Okay, so Paul declared very, very adamantly about what's going to happen to the false gospels and false teachers and those who follow the false gospel. Anathema, which means accursed. Paul normally don't write like that. But twice in verse 8 and 9, he said, they will be accursed. Anathema, which means God is devoted to destroy in the Old Testament. God is devoted to destroy false gospel and false teachers and those who follow the false gospels. Okay, so it's a very, very a crucial topic. Someone who preaches a gospel that is contrary to the one Paul preached, which is the apostolic gospel, and by definition, it means from the Lord. I'm just the messenger. I'm an ambassador. I'm speaking King's word and just delivering it to you. And that message is by grace and grace alone. Can I just explain something? I know many of you know this, but maybe one person in this room may not know this. Grace means it's all God's work. Okay? Works means your work, human work. Christianity is grace alone message. Salvation is by grace alone. Don't get that confused. All the other religion, ideology, all the other whatever, it's works righteousness, work-based religion. Christianity is not. It's the opposite. God came to us, and he did all the work. Through his death and resurrection on your behalf, that you will have peace and righteousness of Christ. That's the only way you will be able to stand before the infinite righteousness of God, right? When you say holy, how holy is he? Somewhat holy? Kind of holy? 90% holy? No. The right expression is infinite holiness. And only way do you be able to be right with that infinite holy God is you have God's infinite holiness through Christ. That's the gospel. Okay, that's what he preached and declared. And the grace means not because you are seeking, not because you went to church, not because you grew up in Christian family, not because you were born in America, not because you were born in, you know, your grandfather was a missionary. Nothing like that. But it is to undeserving, unmerited people. That's what grace is. Okay, we'll go over this. So Paul kind of concluded from last time in verse 10, basically say, am I trying to please men? Do you think I'm trying to please you? As you accuse me to be? You know, gospel by grace, salvation by grace. So there is nothing we really need to do. Sounds like it is very man-pleasing word. Do you think I'm trying to please you? If you preach anything other than that, you'll be accursed. Do I sound like someone who's trying to please you? No, absolutely not. Paul is saying, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And many people try to please your ears. And I think the one of the key thing is, you'll do well in this world and you'll be rich. That's a false gospel. Okay? That's a false gospel. And Paul's saying, I am not trying to please your ears. I'm just delivering God's word to you. Okay? So that was last week, and today we pick up starting from verse 11 from there, and Paul's objective is one thing. Can you stay with me? Paul is trying to say, and he's trying to prove that I am a true apostle. I'm not a second citizen apostle as they claim to be. If you realize, there were 12 disciples, and who are the apostles? And Paul is claiming that I'm an apostle, meaning I'm a God's official messenger, and I met resurrected Christ. Okay? So in chapter 1 and chapter 2, especially the rest of the chapter, Paul tried to prove that I am a true apostle, not second-class apostle. I'm an authentic, and the authority of the apostle is with me. Now, why is that so important? Because that strikes the heart of Christianity. Think with me. If Paul's gospel is second-class false gospel, he wrote 13 books of 27 books of the New Testament. So New Testament is a garbage then. It's a waste. It's a garbage. So for him to authenticate that I'm a true apostle is to go after the heart of the gospel. Therefore, my gospel is from the Lord. That's what he's after. Okay? And how does he do that? And it's so interesting. You know how he does it? Through his personal testimony. I'm asking many of you to write testimony. This may be a good message for you. Okay? We'll be starting a membership, and we'll be asking your testimony. Okay? And this will be a good reference for you. So let me begin. So this section of Galatians is significant because Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. And if the 13 out of 27 by Paul is kind of like on a shaky ground, then New Testament is pretty much a garbage, right? So that is why it is so important. And for them to accuse Paul to be second-class apostle is to attack the heart of Christianity, which is by grace and grace alone. It's all God's work. All this is from God. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay? So in this section of this, his magnificent gospel to Galatians, basically Paul gives his testimony into three nicely divided section. What was he like before the conversion? Okay, two verses, verse 13 and 14. And how did the conversion actually happen? 15 and 16. Okay? And what happened afterward, post-conversion? Neatly divided. Okay, so we will go over his testimony. And by so doing, he's proving that I am a true servant of God and apostle. Let's go back to the text. Verse 11. Okay, Paul is saying to Galatian church, for if I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. That's a huge statement. And this is why. For I did not receive it from any men, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll explain that. For you have heard my former way of life in Judaism. He's talking about pre-conversion story of a testimony of his life. How I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Pretty amazing. Paul is saying the gospel that I preach to you is not man's. That's a huge statement, isn't it? And the reason is that because I never received it from men, nor any man taught me. But I received it, literally received it, from resurrected, ascended, seated on the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, who is divine. That's his claim. Is that true? Okay, that's what we want to see. If you read Book of Acts, what was the first time? When was the first time Paul came into scene? His name was Saul, by the way, before his conversion. Saul. What was the first scene Saul came into the picture? In fact, it was Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, was stoned to death. Stephen, young man, preached, and the angry Jews, they stoned him. And what was Paul doing there? Paul was basically the cheerleader for the Jews. You take off your cloak and just leave it here. Okay, come back and giving out the cards. Basically, that's what he was doing. If you look at Paul's beginning, it's not that honorable. Okay? So that's how he started. And when you get to Acts chapter 9, if you do discipleship or Bible study with New Heart, we look at Acts chapter 9 very, very carefully. And many years ago, it just kind of occurred to me, when you read a book of Acts all the way from beginning to Acts chapter 8, it's about Jerusalem church, how the church rise. And if you read the rest of the book of Acts, it's how the gospel go forth to the rest of the world or the Gentile world. And then there is like a sort of like a sore thumb, chapter 9. I was always wondered, why is it there like that? And it is about one person's conversion, how he became a Christian. It makes sense because that is very important, because that authenticate that God really gave the gospel to Paul directly. Okay? In Acts 9, highlighted manner, Paul encounter resurrected Christ and he explained his conversion. And his name was Saul, and he was a very dangerous, zealous leader of Judaism. He was a young man, and he was violent, as you see. In fact, he gets this power or the paper from the authority, and basically he could arrest all the Christians, arrest them, and take them to Sanhedrin. What's going to happen to them? They will be stoned to death. He was a murderer. He was someone who was starting a genocide. Okay? So he was zealous, and he really wanted to eradicate the church, destroy the church, persecute the church. Acts chapter 9, with the paper, with the authority, and with his soldiers, he was on his way to Damascus to capture Christians, to kill them, to arrest them. That's what he's talking about. That's when the risen, resurrected Christ, who is sitting on the right hand of God. He's the King of Kings. He's above Putin, Biden, Zelensky. Human history. He got up and called Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Can you believe that? Could you just think about that? How that makes sense? What does that sound like? Grace. That's what grace is. That is what grace is. Saved by grace. And in Christianity, salvation is only by grace. Okay? And basically, he called him, and if you look at Acts chapter 9, which I'm not going to look at it carefully, basically, not only he spared his life, which he really deserved to be put to death right away. We're talking about like precision missiles and ammunition and weapons right now in 21st century. Can you imagine the precision of God, of the Almighty God? Especially what he deserved, what he's doing to himself and doing to his church. Not only he spared his life, but he called him to be his instrument. When we consider conversion, if you stop at, oh, Jesus, become my Lord, I don't think that really cut it. I don't think he does that. He called me, and then what happened? What happened? Right? So, literally, Jesus revealed himself, and instantly he probably realized, I believe he instantly realized, it is not by meticulously following the law as I've tried so many years, and I'm so passionate, I'm so zealous about that. That's not it. It is to put my faith in that resurrected Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe it was revealed to him. Jesus was revealed to him. Okay? So Paul received the gospel not by any man, nor by taught by any man, but through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he proves it by his autobiography or his personal testimony. Can I just ask you, do you have a testimony? The reason I ask this question is, at a time like this in America, where the whole world is in turmoil, you feel like, people will ask you, Pastor Paul, I don't see any hope in this world. Could you explain what hope is? Hey, Pastor June, I don't see any hope. They're all same. Given the situation, you'll do the same thing. What Russia is doing, whatever is doing, you'll do the same thing, given the situation. Where is hope? Pastor June, can you explain it to me? And I believe we need to be prepared to share the testimony, the hope. And I believe I do. And I know Pastor June does too. Do you have a testimony? Okay, so let's look at Paul's testimony. Verse 13 and 14 is pre-conversion, before he met Christ. What was he like? And by the way, his testimony is not in just here. It's all over the book of Acts. Chapter 9, chapter 24, 26, in front of Agrippa, in front of, I forgot his name. Festus. In front of all these officials and kings, he testified what he was like before his conversion. Let's look at it. Two things he mentions. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former life, my pre-conversion life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Do you see that? I am a proponent, a diehard proponent of Judaism, which is the opposite extreme of the gospel of grace. And I hate gospel preaching church, and I wanted to destroy it. And then he says, and I was advancing in Judaism, not only that, beyond many of my own age among my people. In other words, you know who I am? I was like the up and rising star of the future Judaism. I was the most educated, the star as a proponent of Judaism, which speaks about the law and the tradition, which is exactly what this topic is about. For me to preach the gospel it doesn't make sense at all. That's what he's saying. It doesn't make sense at all. I was an enemy. I was a hater. I was a persecutor. I was a killer. I wanted to genocide him. That's what he's saying. Do you see that? My own age among my people, so extremely zealous for I was the tradition of my fathers. Do you catch that? That was his life. And then he said, Lord, called me. What do you hear? Grace. Grace. I hope I sense grace in your testimonies. Right? I went to church all my life. Nothing special in my life. But I went on a retreat. I become a Christian. Do you sense any grace? I'm not sure. That's how garbage an enemy, hater of God I was. And he has shown mercy to me, grace to me. That's a testimony. Do you hear it? Okay, that's pre-conversion. Now, if you think about this kind of person who was a violent, zealous persecutor and who was a up and rising star of the Judaism, anything coming along the way, like a trailblazer, he had to destroy and kind of open it up. Who could change a person like that? How could a person like that could be changed? What happened to Paul? John Stott wrote about his conversion. This is what he wrote. Now, man in that mental and emotional state, he's talking about soul, is in no mood to change his mind or even to have it changed for him by any man. In other words, that's not possible. You're so, like, into yourself. You're so convinced about your conviction. Everything is focused on that. Nobody will be able to change you, and you are not ready to listen to anybody. So what happened to Paul? John Stott says, only God could reach a man like him. And he did. And he did. Okay. Let's talk about Paul's conversion, which is famous, Acts chapter 9. Okay. Verse 15 and 16. But, it's always but God, right? That's Christianity. I was like such a wretch, but God. Gospel is always but God, right? But when he who had set me apart, that's God, right? When God who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. Christianity is always, it begins with grace. Where does it begin? Before you decide to come to church. Before you even think about religion. Before you were born. When you were in mother's womb. We call that election grace. Now, if you could just stay with me. Let me just ask you. Did God know how Saul will turn out to be when he's around that age? Did he know the future? Yes, he did. He's omniscient. And yet, God has chosen him before, when he was in the mother's womb. Knowing that how he would turn out. Do you follow? Can I just ask you? For God to choose a man like that, why does he do that? In fact, that question is in the Old Testament. Moses asked, why do you love Israel, your people? And God answers Moses, I love Israel, not because they are greater, not because they are smarter. I love Israel because I love Israel. What does that mean? Because his grace, because God has chosen you. How could possibly anyone love like Saul, who is an arch enemy of the enemy? How is that possible? That's what grace is, right? He's saying that but God, who had set me apart before I was born, and he called me by his grace. Saul, why didn't he just kind of zap him? Why doesn't he just throw him into hell right away? Why doesn't he do that? Why does he talk as if Paul could beat him up? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who's this talking? Someone who has the power of a power like Russia or United States? Do you know what I mean? This just doesn't make any sense. Grace really doesn't make any sense. Because it is from God. And he loves you because he loves you. So what happened? He called me, Saul, why have you persecuted me? He's talking about his conversion. How did he come to Christ? Okay? And the second verse, which I think it is crucial. And God was pleased. If you notice, every subject in salvation is God, right? God was pleased to reveal his son, Jesus, to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles. Two things I want to explain. Number one, what does that word reveal mean? Apocalypse. To unveil, to open up, and to reveal. In other words, God, open your eyes to Jesus. That's the conversion story. God, open my eyes to Jesus. Jesus is greater than the whole history. Jesus is greater than any treasure. Jesus is greater than anyone you could imagine. God, open my eyes to Jesus. Reveal Jesus to me. That's a conversion story, people. Do you have it? I hope you do. I went to the retreat, I become a Christian, doesn't really explain anything. Does it? Like, what happened? What happened? Right? But to Saul, who was an expert of the Old Testament, realized that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything. Not only that, we explained this, Jesus is the culmination of history. Jesus was resurrected just as the Old Testament has been testifying all this time. He is it. He's the Messiah. He's the real one. And he's alive. His eye has been opened. You understand that? Okay, Jesus died for me. I'm good. So I go to heaven. Let me get on with my life. And he stay on the side. I go to church once in a while. Not a good testimony. Right? Do you agree? Do you agree? Would you be convinced? Would you want to believe in Jesus like that, with that kind of testimony? I don't think so. Right? But to him, Paul, who was an up and rising star of the entire Judaism and became a preacher of grace, it just doesn't make sense unless God intervened miraculously. Basically, that is what he's explaining. Okay. Secondly, which I think it is just as important, in order that, which means there is a purpose of salvation, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That sounds like last week's message. God called you to be a citizen of his kingdom so that you may be an ambassador to this host nation. If that is not clear, I'm not sure your conversion is clear. Right? If that is not clear, I'm not sure grace is clear, or the gospel is clear, or the conversion is clear. And that's what we see, people. Before the foundation of the world, Scripture says in Ephesians, he has chosen me. That's God's sovereign grace. Do you know Abraham was an idol worshiper, right? Saul was a church hater. And yet God has chosen them. What is that? Grace. Grace. Salvation by grace alone. That's what it means, people. What were you doing? What was I doing? We're reading Ephesians chapter 2, while we were dead in sin and transgressions. Have you ever seen a dead person try to believe? Have you ever seen a dead person try to do anything? And yet, that dead person could become alive with Christ because God can do that. Only God can do that. That's why salvation is by grace and grace alone. Okay? God revealed his son to me. Literally, resurrected Christ has shown up to him. Do you know Jesus? I'm really asking you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus like Mr. Biden? You know Mr. Biden. Do you know Jesus as if you know your distant cousin? I'm being a little sarcastic here, but you get my point. Do you know Jesus? The amazing gospel is, conversion is, that Jesus, King of Kings, came into history and came into my heart. That's the gospel. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's Christianity and the gospel. If anybody concur with that, could you say amen? That's what Christianity is. That's what the gospel is. And we are looking for that kind of conversion to validate your citizenship, to build a church. That's what membership is. Wow. Why do you do that? Because we don't want non-citizens to represent the kingdom. I mean, I may sound very harsh, but does it make sense for Russian to represent Ukrainians right now? Does it make any sense? Okay. God revealed his son. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 16, I love this story. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Oh, Elijah, Jeremiah, all these, you know, prophets. And then he really wanted to know to the believers, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? That's the basic question. And that's a real question to you. Who is Jesus to you? Someone like Mr. Biden? Someone like your distant cousin? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, King of that kingdom, and you are the Son of living God. And then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. The flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. It's not human revelation. You say that confession because my Father has revealed it to you. Validating his confession and his faith. Remember that? And in other words, that has been revealed to you by grace, by God. And then Jesus said, upon this rock, Petra, your name is Peter, Petros, but upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. Okay? So only by grace you could come to faith. Faith is a gift. Can I just explain something? We did this on Friday. If I give a gift to June, okay, if he really, really be nice to me and work for me, and he did something for me, if I give a gift, it's not so much a grace, right? That's not. But as he is, he's mean to me, he doesn't listen to me, he's not good to me, and yet, let's say I give him a nice gift certificate for dinner with Chloe at a restaurant. Give to him. June receives it. What is that? Grace. Grace. Can I just ask you? That gift is not originated in June. It has originated in me. When we say grace, faith is God's gift to you. You don't have that. A dead person cannot try to believe and believe. God gives you faith. God raised you from the dead so that you could believe as you hear the word of God, like right now, I believe, right now. Okay? Lastly, God called Saul out of the darkness. Right? Darkness, and bring into this marvelous light. And then God called Saul for a purpose. He's going to be my chosen instrument, and he's going to carry my name before the Gentiles. There's a clear purpose in his calling in your salvation. If you don't have any salvation, purpose in your life for Christ, you must go back to your heart. You do. And it sounds like last week's message from 2 Corinthians 5, you are the ambassadors of Christ, and I'm giving you the message of reconciliation. And your ministry and your job is be the ambassadors to preach that message of reconciliation. Okay? So that's the conversion story. His grace. In order for you to say grace, you have to see your sin, no? I went to church all my life. And I went to a retreat, I become a Christian. Doesn't say anything about you. Anything about grace. And then he opened my eyes to the person of Jesus Christ. Is he greater than what is happening in Europe right now? Is he greater than your marriage? Is he greater than history? That's going to be the difference. If he's greater, you will put your life in him. If not, you will put your life in this world, right? He just becomes a helper or means. So grace, calling, opening your eyes to who Jesus is, and this is the purpose of life, and I want to live for him. And I really do believe that's a evidence of salvation. I want to live for him more and more as I get getting older. Remember, like, I share my testimony when I became a Christian, I was accepted to dental school. I said, that doesn't really matter. I want to live for you. I want to make sure I want to live for you, Lord. I got to be a greatest fool if I don't live for you. I think that's the pattern or the story of a true conversion. This is my story. This is my song. That's what we just sang. That's the story of a Christian. Post-conversion, that basically his gospel is not man's, is basically, as he explains what happened to his life, giving the schedule, what he actually did, where he went, and try to prove that the gospel was not given to me by men or taught by men, but it was from God and no one involved in for me to understand the gospel that I preached to you. That's what he's doing, and let's look at it. After the conversion, 16b, I did not immediately consult with anyone. He say that. Jesus revealed the gospel to me, and where did he go afterward? This is what he says. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I should have gone to Jerusalem if I wanted to authenticate my gospel is real, because Jerusalem church is the mother church. It's like the authorized dealer of the gospels. Is my gospel right gospel? He did not do that, he's saying. Okay? But I went to Arabia for 3 years. And we don't know much about it. And the Bible is silent about that. And basically he's saying, I went to Arabia and Lord taught me, discipled me directly for 3 years. That's what he's saying. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. He was a master of the Old Testament. And he met resurrected Christ. And for 3 years, I believe, Lord has taught, this is what it means. He opened the scriptures to him. Just like Luke chapter 24. Starting from the prophets and the Old Testament, Jesus was explaining to him what was written concerning of him to Paul so that he could write the New Testament Gospels. Okay? 3 years, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Finally, then he went to Jerusalem and listen to what he's trying to say. I went to visit Cephas, which means that's Peter, the leader of the Jerusalem church, and remained with him only 15 days. But I saw none of other apostles except James, Lord's brother. What is he doing? I did not meet anybody. It wasn't the men's gospel that influenced me. I only saw Cephas and I saw James only for 15 days. What he's trying to say is that's enough time to, I guess we get to know each other, but not really like formulating the entire gospel. That's not enough time. That's what he's trying to say. Yes, I went to Jerusalem only for 15 days. And he does something very, very cute afterward. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. What is he doing? I swear to God. And that's what the people did in his time. When you go to the court of law, you swear. I swear to God I'm speaking the truth. That's what he's doing. Okay? What happened afterward? Then I went to the region of Syria and Cilicia, which is his hometown, east of Galatia, where he's from Tarsus, right? Present Turkey. I went to my hometown, and I was there for 14 years, and I did ministry on my own to the Gentiles. And then he goes, when I was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea or Jerusalem church that are in Christ, they only were hearing, it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God because of me. So that's his post-conversion testimony. What is he trying to prove? No man taught me. No man gave to me. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I spent 3 years with him, and on my own, I preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and Lord has blessed me. That's what he's saying. He's setting up an alibi. I never met any man to influence me. We just saw Paul's testimony, pre-conversion, conversion, and post-conversion. That's a good way to construct your testimony. What was your life like? What happened? What happened afterward? What is he doing right now? Now that's a living testimony, isn't it? Coming back to Galatians, Paul basically is saying, my gospel is not from men, nor taught by men, but God revealed to me directly. It's not man's gospel. I am not second-class apostle, but I am an apostle of Christ by his grace. That's what he's saying. Let me close, okay? Let me close. How does the gospel come to you? How does the gospel come to me? It comes from God. It comes from God. By grace. Through faith. In Christ. For the good works. And I know people are listening. How does gospel come to me? By grace. It's all grace. It's God. You're dead. I'm dead. If I were doing anything, I was persecuting and destroying the church and being violent to God. I wanted to be autonomous. I don't want to have anything to do with God. That's the kind of life we live before conversion. He actually came into history, human history, and he did. And he's in control of what is happening in Europe, what is happening in America, what is happening in human history. And the history will not go off his plan. And history will continue until he stops. In fact, the Bible says the curtain will come down one day, and it'll be a sudden. The curtain will come down and Christ will return and judge every single person and nation according to his justice. Okay? Not only he came into history, he came into my heart, my life. That's a testimony, isn't it? I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. That's a testimony, isn't it? Luther says, the knowledge of Christ and faith is not man's work, but utterly a divine gift. Ephesians 2:8. It is not from you. It is from God. By grace, he gives you faith as a gift. So you believe in Christ, so you live for him, for the good work. That's Christianity. God has chosen us in love before you came to church, before you were born, before you were able to choose him. We believe it's because God gives you faith. And as I'm saying this, I'm praying that you would desire it. And God is speaking to you. Only God could change your life. God revealed and unveiled and opened your eyes, opened your heart, who Jesus is. Is Jesus more important or your career more important? Going to dental school more important? Getting married more important? My children going to good junior high school important? Or Jesus more important? Right? Only God could reveal that to you. Every Christian testimony, every Christian story line is, I believe, the same. I was a wretch, and he revealed Jesus to me. That's grace. I was a wretch. It's got to be there. And he revealed Jesus to me. Why? because he called me to live for him, for the good works. And you know what? I want to live for him. That's why I want to study hard. That's why I want to get married. That's why I want to have children. But at the end of the day, my purpose in life is to live for him, for the good works. Can I just ask you? Do you know what God has called you to do? If not, search your heart. Are you living for him? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If not, are you a Christian? Are you a kingdom citizen? If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, how could you say you're a kingdom citizen? I think that does not make any sense, and you're being very ridiculous, don't you think? Unless Jesus is the Lord of your life. I want to conclude in conclusion. What does gospel do? It's not man's gospel, it's God's gospel. What does gospel do? One statement, one sentence. It changes your whole life. Nothing less than that, people. The time is dark. You sense it. And the wars and the rumors of wars, Bible says in Matthew 25, will continue until Christ returns. Now the word nuclear bomb I'm hearing on BBC. Right? But what does gospel do? It changes your whole life from an enemy to an ambassador. From citizens of this satanic kingdom to the citizen of God's kingdom. You don't see the difference? Then what does conversion mean? It doesn't make any sense, right? What would gospel do to you? It'll change your whole life. Let's pray.